We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
Dirty, it is 3 o'clock, and that means we have reached the deadline for players in the National Football League to opt out due to medical concerns with COVID-19. And Bill O'Brien spoke earlier today. And this was the latest at that time, and now we've reached 3 o'clock. Players can no longer opt out unless they have changes in their health or someone very close in their intermediate family's health. Other than that, they cannot opt out and still gain the money. This was Bill O'Brien on the Texans and where they stand right now in the opt out.
Yeah, we had one opt-out, Eddie Vanderdoes. Have not heard from any other players. We respect those types of decisions and the process that goes into those decisions. Everyone is here. Everyone's reported. Some guys are in different phases of, not many, but, you know, different phases of corona testing and physicals and things like that. But everybody's here.
Everyone's there. Everyone is, and unlike other teams, and I know a big one today, Clint, the Buffalo Bills were really looking because their all-pro corner, Tre'Varius White, was looking and thinking about opting out due to family concerns. His wife's grandfather passed due to COVID-19, so he was thinking about opting out. Not any word yet, but that would have been huge for a playoff team from last year who the Texans actually defeated in the playoffs last year. But around the league, some teams have been hit really hard. The Texans, not one of them.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien and the Texans dodged a big bullet, man. I mean, this is one of those where they're fortunate as ever to have the entire roster, other than the one player that was brought in last year during the time JJ was hurt, I believe. Didn't look to be a contributor this year in any way, shape, or form. So the opt-outs have not hurt the Texans roster at all to this point. Now, I mean, we may hear of something that's taking place now. We may hear about it a little bit later, but definitely the Texans dodged a bullet. And look, Bill O'Brien dodged a bullet because you talk about something here that it just flat out, there's no easy way to deal with it.
No.
I mean, if you're a coach and you're trying to win football games and that's the way you're wired, it's hard. It's very difficult to go, okay, man, you know, if you can't make it in today, you know, it's not a situation where you can talk guys in or out of it. I mean, it's an okay, man.
That's how you got to accept it.
We'll fill out the paperwork and move on. So you got to think that's a very difficult conversation for a coach to have, especially like what's going on in New England with multiple players.
Yeah.
Man, Bill O'Brien, the Texans, in several different ways avoided a big-time bullet, and that bullet is players opting out due to the coronavirus at the deadline today at 3 o'clock.
Clint, it is an advantage, and if you look at it, two AFC powers, so to speak, the Chiefs and the Patriots, you could say, are the teams that were most affected by the opt-out, losing actual starters. The Chiefs losing two starters, the Patriots losing a bevy of players, including their starting right tackle, middle linebacker, Dante Hightower, and their starting safety, Patrick Chung. So there is an advantage there for the Texans with those other teams.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, tonight the Astros look to win the rubber game against the Diamondbacks. They start up here at 6 o'clock, 6:07, right after we get done here We'll have the lineups out pretty quick for you. Brandon Belak getting his start tonight, but there was news and a transactions made because Little Shot Rob is forcing the league that is having injuries and coronavirus sweeping sweeping teams in Major League Baseball. He is now making the rosters go from 30 to 28. So with that, the Astros are optioning Brian Abreu, who has kind of struggled in the bullpen, and Jack Mayfield to get the roster down. Also, as a side note, Yordan Alvarez is taking BP in Corpus, and there is video out there if you want to catch it. But the Astros are losing Brian Abreu and Jack Mayfield because they are forced to go from 30 to 28.
I mean, not huge news being those two players. Obviously, you'd like to keep Abreu in the pen, not because you can rely on him or you're confident when you throw him out there that he's going to have the command that he needs to help the team, but just simply to have a fresh arm in the pen would be nice. Jack Mayfield, I mean, look, if you and I hadn't argued about Brantley getting pinch ran for, I wouldn't even have known Jack Mayfield was on the roster. So not huge news with these two guys, but Yordan Alvarez taking BP in Corpus Christi, that's a step in the right direction. Like I said, I would fast track that sucker to Houston, and I would have him getting them live at bats in this damn lineup. If you had Litmus Diaz, if you had the entire lineup to
bench and stuff, yep.
If you had all the guys that you were going to depend on long term, then it would be a different story. But right now, with that, you got some guys. Toro, he did a great job last night.
I owe him an apology.
Look, I tried.
I'm sorry.
We tried to trade Tucker. I did, and then we tried to cut Toro before last night. And I'll be damned if he didn't go out there and knock the cover off the ball. But still, he's getting quality at bats with runners in scoring position. If that's the case, damn it, get Yordan up here and let's get him nose at bat.
I simply said I had never seen Abraham hit a ball hard. And he
hit one hard last night.
He hit a couple last night, that single and the home run. He went deep. Real quick back with Jack Mayfield. Can't believe we're circling back around to Jack Mayfield.
Can't believe they're moving at speed to Corpus.
I'm telling you, the only thing about him is, to talk more about Jack's speed, he'll just the position he plays. He has been the backup shortstop. And Litmus Diaz, as you just spoke, Dusty said the other day, it may be a couple weeks before he gets back up. This means Carlos Correa, who we know as Los Correa, he's going to play every day. He's going to play every day
you
now.
You want me to tell you what's going to happen?
He's going to play every
day. This is going to hurt you. Let me tell you what's going to happen, though. When Los doesn't take the field, they're going to move Bregman to short, and guess who's going to play third?
She knows.
Guess who's going to play third?
Who's going to play third?
Toro.
Yeah, I know he is. The Canadian. Abraham Toro is going to play third.
More Toro.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. But, no, I'm just saying. So, hey, the next couple of weeks, he's not getting no day off. That's fine. He's been playing like an MVP anyway, Los Correa. But that is the significance of Jack Mayfield. Until at least Litmus Diaz gets back, you really don't have anybody you want to stick out there and play. So, Los Correa, gear up, baby. You had a day off last week. No more.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
All right. Tonight, it was supposed to be a huge matchup on TNT. They made it their primetime game at 8 tonight. Lakers and Rockets. Well, LeBron's not playing tonight, and it looks like Russell Westbrook is up in the air as well. I don't know why. They had a day off yesterday after they took the L to Portland. I don't like that. The Rockets need to win this game, all right? It is not out of the woods, not likely, but not out of the woods that they play and they are still not the seventh seed. They can still technically drop into the seventh seed, so they need to win these games. The Lakers are coming off the back end of a back-to-back. They've already ruled out LeBron with groin issues. They got to win this game and he'll at least play Russ, if not at a limited
point. Word on the street is AD is also up in there for tonight's game.
Yes, this is going to be a J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters, Kyle Kuzma. This is going to be that type of ball game, and the Rockets can't lose.
So this is, I think that's what I said about the Astros yesterday. Lance McCullers on the mound versus the worst lineup in baseball, or at least the least productive lineup in baseball. This is a must win, and they go out there and get destroyed. I I hope we don't jinx these boys the way we did the Astros last night.
They just can't lose to these guys, man. They're not. I mean, they're just not putting any. AD's not going to play. Right?
You got to believe Harden. Harden's old slow motion, easy, smooth and easy. You know he's going to play.
But I don't like Russ sitting down. I don't.
I'm just going to tell you, no Russ, no Harden, no Gordon. Man, it's a it's a flip of the coin.
If you are not here, this is probably a win that would almost seal it, that you would avoid the seventh seed. And as we had Ryan McDonough on our radio, NBA insider, who was on with us each and every Tuesday at 2:30, he said, you want to avoid the Clippers. You want to – this could seal it. The Lakers are trying to give you the game. They're probably not going to – you're right. They already ruled LeBron out. AD got poked in the eye. There's an easy injury thing that they can push and say his eye. We want to sit him out for his eye. They've clinched. They're not playing. Go get this win and seal it. And I think seeding does matter.
No, look, there's no doubt seeding matters. I mean, last time we checked, after two games the Rockets had won, there was an 89% chance that they would be the sixth seed or higher. So there was an 11% chance out there. I don't know what it looks like now
after they
lost to Portland. But there was once an 80, damn near 90% chance that they would get the sixth seed or better. You're right. The sooner they can lock up that sixth seed or better positioning in the playoffs, the better it'll be for the Rockets. The more they'll be able to rest guys like Russ down the stretch. They'd be able to be patient with Eric Gordon down the stretch here with these last few games in the season. They need to lock this thing up.
Don't you think, however, it is important for the Rockets still to get chemistry and still to get any kinks out and how they're going to play with this small ball? Are you comfortable watching them as they've started? They play three games now, Clint. Are you comfortable to say, all right, they're good. I know how they're going to play. They don't – I still thought coming into this they needed some reps because they only played like 10 games or so in this new – this new offense.
Balls,
so
yeah.
I still think there is still something they need to, especially defensively.
We can't sit here through the entire COVID-19 pandemic delay and play 4 months and talk about how Mike D'Antoni's going back to the drawing board and figuring out ironing all the kinks out that were there after 15 games of small ball before the break. We can't sit there and talk about him doing that and getting this scheme right and getting the guys coached up in that scheme and then come out and go, well, what, three games into this season, we're good to go. We can rest everybody. No, that you're right. There's still work to be done in terms of getting these guys in really bought in and feeling the small ball that D'Antoni wants to play.
Yeah. From the text line, stop, guys. There is no show curse. Y'all trying to put the show curse on them. There is no such thing as a show curse. I will not allow you to try to implement this. There is no show curse. Stop it.
Well, I mean,
and
yeah,
you
oh
need,
no,
you know,
no.
And don't do what you mean.
There's definitely going to be a show curse going
you're
on.
You're adding to this. And if they lose this tonight, there is no show curse.
If you get to come on air and you get to talk about, well, I was right, then damn it, when you're wrong, it's going to be
a show
curse.
No. It could just be I'm wrong.
You can't gloat about being right and then not call it a curse when you're dead ass wrong.
Come on, man. Can I? This is our guy, Adam Spolane, SportsRadio610.com. He is more than just our inside reporter. He brings it all. I just wanted to pass this news message to the people of Houston. Governor Abbott just announced that the Astros and Texas Division of Emergency Management are setting up a COVID-19 testing site at Minute Maid Park. Starting on Saturday, it will be able to process 2,000 tests per day. Mm. So just that news note to pass along. The Astros and Governor Abbott, they've come together. Minute Maid Park, COVID-19 testing. Starting Saturday, they can process over 2,000 tests. Hey, David Johnson, he's going to work with the Texans. He's going to work with the Texans, and there are clear reasons why. We'll show you and tell you what they are coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
David Johnson is going to work. There are some clear reasons why. We'll get to that. But Clint Tyler, Dusty Baker is speaking to the media, and our guy, our our insider, Adam Spolane at SportsRadio610.com. A couple of things here, Clint. Dusty Baker said of Jose Urquidy, he threw off the mound for the first time, and Yordan Alvarez is just now taking BP. Seems like the Calvary's a way off. Dusty also spoke of Brian Abreu, who was sent down to make room because they had to trim the roster from 30 to 28. Baker said of Abreu, he's been thinking too much and things just snowballed. He also said he came into summer camp overweight and out of shape.
That's a bad combination. You can't be an overthinker and overweight and out of shape.
And an overeater.
I'm just...
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you know, I understand, yes. Man. Shoot, you get hungry sometimes. Yeah. You know, ain't nobody else been thinking about no sugar either?
I'm just glad you got them pretzels out of here. I've been hammering about 40 of them to show. Man. But yeah, look, that's... Dusty Baker, man, he's dropping bombs everywhere, right?
Baker
bombs all over the place.
Stop!
What?
Baker bombs? Come on, man.
You like that.
No, I don't.
By the way you smile.
I gave you Bulldog. I gave you, what the hell?
Bulldog Taylor.
I gave you Bulldog Taylor. But I have,
there it is.
I hate your guts. I am not going Baker bombs. I'm not allowed.
Yeah, you are. I can tell right now. You like it.
No, I've never said it. I will never say it. I would never in my life. Never going to say Baker bombs.
Okay, we'll see.
God,
that's a Baker bomb. When he says that a guy came in out of shape and overweight and he's thinking too much, Baker bomb.
As Dusty Baker said that and not what Clint keeps calling it. If you missed it, Baker said of Brian Abreu, who has just been sent down, Abreu's been thinking too much and things just snowballed. He also said he came into summer camp overweight and out of shape. If that's what a coach is saying to the media, there has to be a serious level of disappointment bordering to annoyance that you now struggling, and when you're struggling, I'm looking at you, all I've been thinking the first time I seen you, damn, you're about 25 over.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing 25.
Right. He's a big fella, so 25 would probably be about right. But you know, with Dusty Baker, you got to believe with a new manager that Dusty Baker comes in and literally gives everybody a clean slate. And at this point in time, he's been around enough to know that there's some guys that are doing everything right and just can't get right. And then there's some guys that just refuse to be disciplined, whether we're talking about workout habits, whether we're talking about nutrition and work ethic, regardless of what that is, those are the things that would drive a coach to just being brutally honest to the media. Most of the time, coaches keep things like that, especially players' coaches like Dusty Baker, keep things like that in-house. But this is more than likely Brian Abreu's a guy that's peacocking around like he don't give a damn. He's not going to work hard to lose the weight. He's not going to work hard to do what it takes to be a starter for the Astros or to come out of the pen for the Astros. This is one of those things where I liken it to the concerns of Forrest Whitley. It's like, man, if you can't cut it right now, like and I know things are gonna get better. Look, when Davinsky comes back,
oh yeah,
when I mean, look, when Peacock comes back,
Brad Peacock,
you know, there's several guys. When Urquidy gets back, there's several guys out there that it's gonna get better. But for the next 2 weeks to a month, if you're a pitcher, especially a pitcher that like Abreu and Josh James, those are guys that have been. Framber Valdez is one of them. Those are guys that have like potential starter. Definite long relief in the pen types of that's still the jury's still out on where they're going to land, but they've got multiple opportunities. If you're one of those guys that you're being looked at as either middle relief or a starter and you still can't cut it, you still can't come in shape, you still can't come in out of shape and bust your ass to get in shape to the point where the manager goes out there and says, overweight, out of shape.
Hold on, man. As you missed it, Dusty Baker coming in, letting people know Brian Abreu came in out of shape and out of weight and overweight. That's why he's one of the reasons he's been sent down. He's struggling mightily, and he came in out of shape, overweight. By the way, Dusty did not have to say that.
No, it's not at all.
Dusty could have kept that one in. Did not have to say
at
that.
At all.
That was a message
Coach,
sent.
He didn't have to say anything about Brian Abreu.
No, I don't believe anyone asked him a question.
Did he even mention Mayfield?
He didn't say nothing about Jack. Instead of that, Jack's a good guy. Jack's a good guy.
I can't believe Dusty Baker's sending that speed down. I cannot believe he's sending that speed to Corpus.
But Clint, real quick, man. Seriously, what's going on with Forrest? Forrest came into camp in the best shape of his life. He couldn't get past Brian Abreu, who has not really thrown well at all. It wasn't like Brian Abreu was really throwing great in these sim games. I remember him getting hit around in these sim games.
Brian Abreu.
And he came in 32 pounds overweight.
Brian Abreu did this right here. He said, y'all think Josh James did something? Hold my beer.
I'm just saying, man.
Dusty said, nah, I ain't giving you the chance, Chief. I ain't holding a damn thing.
He came in overweight, and Forrest couldn't beat him out.
He's not fat. Well, I mean, he's big.
What is Forrest doing? Like, that's enough, man. Forrest, it's not one thing Brandon Bielak, who is getting a start tonight over you. It was not even on the radar. He's getting a start tonight. Christian Javier has been a revelation to this team. They got 10 rookies up here. Now that Forrest, guy from the jump, you're in the best shape of your life, Forrest.
Hello,
Look how skinny Forrest is. Look how skinny, that's what everybody said to me. Look how skinny Forrest is. You remember old big old Forrest? He didn't drop 30 pounds. Forrest on his release can make his hand touch the other side of his ribs. You got this kid, Brian Abreu, who is obviously gotten on Uncle Dusty Baker's last nerve because this wasn't no drive-by. Dusty.
It was a Baker bomb. It wasn't a drive-by. I mean, just say it. Damn. It's good. It's okay, man. It's okay.
I'm never saying Baker bomb again. But Dusty got in the car, turned the keys on, and made him stand directly in front of him and ran him over on his way to Corpus. I don't even think Dusty's letting him go to Corpus. Dusty sent him to Denton. Sent his ass to Denton, Texas. That's what Dusty did.
I'm not even going to let you go down and be on the Gulf Coast hit by the hurricane. I'm going to shoot you up to Denton.
Yeah, you're going to Denton. You're going to think about some things. Damn, Forrest.
You want a chocolate?
You sound so serious. He said, damn, Forrest. Yeah,
from the text, I said one thing. Forrest Whitley is 101% injured and not even currently throwing. Okay, he hadn't been 100% injury the whole time, has he, Tyler? No.
Come on now.
Is that what we're going to do here?
Yeah,
come on,
no.
Man.
Show, I'm with you on that. Now. Apparently there's some arm soreness and he hasn't been able to throw.
I bet there is.
But I mean, let's be honest. Like, when this – Abreu didn't all of a sudden just become overweight and out of shape.
Come on, right? Man.
I mean, Josh James didn't all of a sudden have, like, severe command issue of his pitches. There's guys getting called up that have never pitched.
There's guys getting called up that Dusty's never seen pitch. Dusty brought – I'm serious. Whoever that was that ended the game – listen, I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to know these things. I have no
– Castellano.
Dusty had never
– Umberto.
No, it's Castellano's the one he's never
seen.
His
first name is Umberto.
Listen to these names we're throwing
out. His first name is Umberto. I know that much. They had guys – that Dusty's never seen throw before. Dusty went and grabbed the ball from a guy the other night and brought in a guy he's never seen before. I'm not kidding. Adam Spillane said that was the first time when he got on the mound that Dusty watched that kid pitch. Who was the last guy that pitched the other night? Umberto something.
Last night there was a dude named like Santa Bria.
Yeah, that fella. But the other, yeah, he came, he said, Adam said, that's the first time Dusty's seen him pitch. Never even seen him throw a bullpen. Good hell.
You imagine if the Astros pulled you up and it, like, you ain't met nobody. It's a call down to the Corpus, and you drive up, you get to the stadium, the coach has got – he's trying to make a lineup card. And literally the first time you hear from anybody that's an authority figure on the Astros, it's when they call the bullpen and you go to the mound – And you mess the bed, and here comes the coach. Hey, Dusty, nice to meet you. Sorry, I just messed the bed in the sixth inning.
I think the kid pitched well. I think he ended the game well. But I mean, this is what they got, guys. Dusty had never seen me pitch before, and Forrest can't get there. Forrest ain't been doing nothing but eating rice cakes, drinking water. Maybe you get some Crystal Light to squirt it in like me and Clint been doing.
Yeah,
My name's Forrest.
That was nice.
Ain't been doing nothing. And Forrest can't beat out guys in Abreu, who's put on 46 pounds, came in 46 pounds overweight in the summer camp unofficially. 46 pounds. and Forrest Whitley can't get up here.
Dusty's walking around the dugout looking at guys saying, who the hell are you? He doesn't even know who's in the dugout, man. Hey, man.
Yeah, who we going with? Yeah, all right.
Whatever you your name is, yet? Get out there.
Oh, God, man. God.
Forrest. So what you're saying, though, is Forrest would have already been hit. Forrest would have been pulled
Come
up
on,
if he didn't
man.
Have the arm soreness.
What? No, I don't know if he would have. I don't know. How did he not make this squad out of camp? How did the arm soreness thing we just heard in the last couple of days?
I don't know how he didn't make it, but
yeah, you do, man. Just I'm glad that you were able to get off that train. And I'm not, you know.
Well, it was a fun little game to play when Verlander and Osuna were still members. And it was like, oh, you know, at some point in time, maybe that fifth starter, old Forrest, will get called up midseason and get a shot. I mean, I didn't know there was going to be 10 shots passing by and him still not be. I didn't realize that. Sorry.
Oh, my God, man. That's just too bad. All right, man. We'll get to this David Johnson thing, man. David Johnson, we're going to prove to you there are legit reasons why he will work in this offense. 713-572-4610. You can jump in. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
There are many who just don't have a lot of faith in David Johnson. And that's fine. People talk, well, he hasn't been real good since 2016. I would say 2018 was the last time he had a solid season. But a lot of people are down on David Johnson. David Johnson, he is excited and appears to be very, very motivated. But one of the things that he's most excited about is one of the things and reasons why I just don't think you could minimize the upgrades that he is going to have coming to the Houston Texans. This particular part of the Texans is something that he is really, really ready to get and running behind.
Oh, man, this is the thing I'm probably one of the most excited things I'm about is how good and dominant our offensive line looks, how strong they look. And just from watching film last year of each player, it's going to be very fun, to say the least. And I think it's going to help out, you know, the offense, those five guys up there and, you know, their level of professionalism and how smart they are. First and foremost is that. And LT, Max, those guys, Nick, they're going to be very good for us. Titus and those guys are going to be able to really help Deshaun stay upright, get the holes open for me, and I can't wait for the season to start.
I don't think you can minimize for a running back and a running back like him who has had some issues injury-wise here lately and just some issues with not having any kind of an offensive line in front of him. I don't think you can minimize the upgrade of the offensive line and several other upgrades that we can get into. But first, the offensive line. And in 2018, the last time he really played, I mean, as I said before, Andre Smith, you could have put a Weber grill out there and it'd have done the same damn thing that Andre Smith was doing.
Damn, that's harsh.
Man, it was, man. He had hand sanitizer bottles out there, deck chairs.
As offensive lineman?
Yes, that's what he was working with. Like that crew in 18, he almost rushed for 1,000 yards behind that line. That is going to be a world's amount of difference in terms of offensive line play that's going to be in front of him. You play with Emmitt Smith, one of the best of all time. Like, to understand bad O-line play and then to come into what he is going into, you can understand why he's excited. And I think that's one of the top reasons of an upgrade why David Johnson will work.
Yeah, when you go down the list of guys that should be excited about this offensive line, it goes Deshaun Watson, obviously, then it goes Tim Kelly, and then it goes David Johnson. I mean, David Johnson could very easily be stuck with a team where he can't get out of the backfield because he's stuck inside pass protecting a good chunk of the time. Because this offensive line has the ability to block the down four plus one extra runner. So if they bring five defenders, this offensive line should, for the most part, a good chunk of the time, be able to handle that. And I'm talking about handle it in a dominant fashion. And so there's no doubt about it, just from David Johnson's ability to get out in routes, to be used in different formations, and to really showcase his skill set, this offensive line is going to allow that to happen. You spoke about just the ability of a good running back running the football behind a good, solid, quality offensive line versus one that wasn't very good. That in itself is obvious. It's obviously an upgrade. And in Houston, I think they're going to be, in the top 10 or 12 offensive lines, whether you're talking about pass protecting or you're talking about running the football. So, yeah, David Johnson's skill set will be able to be – it should be able to be showcased in a way that it's only been showcased a few times in the NFL in the last few years.
How fair is this? Because I think he's coming to improve coaching too, and I know many people don't want to hear that. I think he's coming especially when it comes to the running game. Clint, one of the real – and there are a lot of things you can get on Bill O'Brien and this offense about over the years. It's fair. I've said it before. The Texans just always appear to be a team that is underachieving on offense. But one thing is they somehow are able to run the football with bad offensive lines and not great backs, right? Like, I don't think anyone would look at Lamar Miller and say, boy, that guy, that's one of the best backs in the league. You remember that 2018 line, that one that had Deshaun Watson having a drive to Jacksonville because he couldn't get on a plane?
Right.
Like, that group got Lamar Jackson over 1,000 yards. Like, that has to be some coaching in the run game. If they're able to get a poor offensive line to get a average back there. This is a guy who was an above average back if healthy, with an above average offensive line, and with their coaching, that also should be a step over.
Yeah, you know, I think what you talk about Bill O'Brien and what he's built, and again, whether you talk about the culture, the locker room, the talent on the roster, the preparation leading up to game week, for the most part, it's above average. And that's what you get. You get an above average football team in the NFL. You get a team that wins a division. Even some people will tell you how weak the division is. Either way it goes, it's tough to win your division. They'll win the division. They'll get into the playoffs, so they're above average. And then when they play in the playoffs, you realize that other teams, for the most part, are better than them. I mean, they're in one way, shape, or form, they're better than the Texans. And that's what's in question here with the Texans. Not to get off in the Bill O'Brien, rant, but that's above average is one thing. He's proven that time and time again that he can – that this organization is there. It's above average. You're in the top quarter of this league, zero doubt about it. You're ran more professionally, more efficiently than the majority of the organizations in this league. The question is can you go from above average to great? And that's the run game. I mean, the when you look at the guys that offensively, just the very basic football 101, offensive football 101, when there's a light box, when you have the numbers in the box, when teams expand, which they do a lot when you have Deshaun Watson and you have DeAndre Hopkins and you have Will Fuller on the other side when he's healthy, they expand a lot. So what Bill O'Brien does is when they expand, he hands the football off. He's going to run the football every single time that there is an opportunity to have the advantage inside, regardless whether it's a 2018 offensive line or it's a 2020 offensive line. They are going to run the football when there's two safeties on the roof, when there's two safeties deep and the box is light up near the line of scrimmage. They are going to run the football. Bill O'Brien has stuck to that, and that's why you see them. They produce 1,000-yard backs because the simple things done savagely well will give you an above-average product.
They're probably going to see a lot of those looks this year.
And they're going to run into
it. With the speed they have on the outside, they're probably going to see a lot of teams be nervous and want to defend them going down the field. And I think he's a more talented guy. Like I said, man, however you want to put it, man, he is more talented than Carlos Hyde and Lamar Miller.
Agreed. I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal, Show, is that you know the 1,000-yard back can be produced in this offense because they stick to that rule and they've got an advantage a lot of the time in the run game. And ultimately defenses are going, we would rather you run the football with Carlos Hyde between the tackles than for us to give you an advantage with DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller outside, right? The problem is to be great, like that run game can't be just Carlos Hyde. That run game has to be a David Johnson caliber running back. That run game has to include a Deshaun Watson threat because he's going to rip off 15 if you try to take away the run. He's going to rip off 15. He's going to get the edge if he decides to keep it instead of handing it inside, and he's going to get a chunk play, not just a 3 yards in a cloud of dust, right? I mean, I love the discipline and the belief to stick to those basic rules because it can produce some really good things. The key is, in order to be great, you got to do things a little bit differently. You've got to take it up a notch. And to me, is it Carlos Hyde? Just hand it to him up the middle? Or is it David Johnson and Deshaun Watson threatening to go get the big chunk play instead of the 3 yards?
But those guys up front is a flat-out upgrade.
No question.
To what he's dealt with. The quarterback, man, 2018 is the last time he was sitting there with Josh Rosen, man. Nobody's scared of Josh Rosen. He's a rookie, not knowing what he's doing. He was like, and even rookie Kyler Murray, there is still an upgrade. Sorry, Ocho, I know you're going to lose it. There's still an upgrade from Deshaun Watson to rookie Kyler Murray and damn sure with Josh Rosen. And as we just talked about, man, the Texans seem to do well with the running game. Even with bad O-line play, they have done well with it. You said it last year, man, when Titus Howard got injured, they had guys that weren't better than Wade Smith that they were running out there. Guys they were just calling off the street that had to come in and get time. And so,
yeah, Smitty wouldn't have lost that weight. He could have went out there and made him really some more bread. Not that he needs it 12 years. He damn sure don't need it.
He could have got a 13th year, baby. He could have got a 13th year. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. This from Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle, Clint. Former Broncos and Raiders linebacker Brandon Marshall has been in to visit with the Texans today and could potentially be signed. He used to be really, really nice a couple of years ago, a faster linebacker that could move and cover more. I know he had an injury because I remember him on Hard Knocks, and they cut him from that team, said they didn't have room. But that'll be interesting. The Texans, we did know, you got to get down to 80 players. They didn't have as many players as other teams, especially due to their draft. They only drafted 5 guys. They didn't have to cut down as many. This could be a talented guy that could help this defense if he's, if he's still in shape. And place to take a flyer.
No, I think you take a flyer on a guy like that to give you a little bit of depth, to give you some options at that linebacker position. You can never have enough. In a 3-4 scheme, you could never have enough linebackers. And in 2020, you can never have enough experienced veterans. And so, that doesn't surprise me. Doesn't do a whole lot for me. Doesn't move the needle much other than just gives you some veteran depth if it does end up working out. I don't know anything about his condition. Don't know anything about the Texans' interest and level of interest. But was once a good player, no doubt.
Yep. 30 years old, once a good player, played with Denver and played with the Oakland Raiders. He is in the facility today. Clint Sterner and the show with you. Me and Tyler were going back and forth a little bit today about that fourth inning that Lance McCullers really crapped the bed in. The Astros end up giving up 9 runs. And Clint, he was all about it. That inning could have been so much different had the Astros outfielders played it differently. And I kind of scoffed at that in terms of what Lance gave up. But there is a point with what Tyler is saying that I have noticed at the start of the season. Like, there's a lot of blame that's been pushed at Dusty. And I think some things he just can't control with injuries and everything. His best hitter hasn't been in the lineup. I think Brantley's back in the lineup tonight, actually. But there's a lot of things he can't control. But one thing that we have noticed, they've got like a Pittsburgh Steeler feel to me with Mike Tomlin in terms of sometimes they're not buttoned up. Sometimes the Astros just don't do the little things well, especially veteran-laden teams. Like Miles Straw. Why the hell were you not backing up Springer yesterday which then cost runs, right? Yeah. Those are little things that you would expect veteran teams to be like. We have talked about in depth Jose Altuve just going up and just having selfish at-bats with runners on second base and not even thinking about going the other way, right? There, Josh Reddick has had some issues. He ran himself into an out after he tied the game. They just a little less buttoned up than you would expect for a veteran team that's been to multiple World Series.
Yeah, they definitely showed that last night. I mean, I understand Springer's typically in center field, but I mean the shape of that particular park they were in last night, that not knowing how to play a ball off of that wall, and I know balls take strange bounces all the time, but that appeared to me by when I was watching it on TV that's something you discuss with the coach before the game. Or with an experienced right fielder before the game of, hey man, if a ball is hit down the line, how's it gonna carry him off of this wall? Like, is it gonna shoot straight down the wall? I mean, it's clearly
be over there.
It's clearly unorthodox, right? I mean, that's one of those deals to me where the coaches in football always tell you as a quarterback, go out in pregame, and in pregame, no matter what you do, make sure you find the play clocks. Sometimes they're left, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're low, sometimes they're high, sometimes they're between by the uprights. Find them on both ends of the field so that when you in game, you know, because you're checking the play clock, obviously, every time you break the huddle or before you snap the football every single time, know where it's at. Don't get caught by surprise on the first drive of the game. To me, that's very similar. Like, an outfielder should go out and walk the outfield and go, hey, that's an odd corner over there. If the ball is hit over there, it's obviously going to bounce off that wall differently than it does at Minute Maid Park. What are we going to do?
You shouldn't be definitely just standing there chilling and just watching.
So, well, yeah. Well, my point was like Miles Straw definitely should have been backing him up. But either way it goes, like Springer should have had a better idea of how to play
right.
That
even
ball.
Even starts with Springer to understand like caroms. If many left fielders that go and play in Boston with the Green Monster, just stand out there, especially if you've never played there, stand out there and just look at the caroms off the wall so they know and get a better uses of it. Yeah, so it maybe started with Springer and there and Straw not backing them up, which caused you. They just have had that happen where you're like, veteran players would.
I don't know that Dusty's strength's going to be real buttoned up.
I guess not.
I just don't think that Dusty doesn't strike me as a guy that, I mean, literally, could anything worse happen last night than the kid bunt for a single after Dusty's comments about we don't bunt?
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
I mean, I understand the frustration of Dusty addressing the bunt comments. You and I have discussed it at length. I can understand the frustration, him feeling the need to, but he does that. Like, in other words, these guys aren't good bunters, and then the kid on the least productive lineup in baseball at that point bunts for a single, like lays down a beautiful bunt for a single. Come on, man. Like, I just don't think Dusty's gonna – the Astros are not gonna be a buttoned-up tight organization with Dusty running that game.
It's just
not gonna happen, man.
Anybody who rolls through toothpicks don't feel like they're buttoned up. But – I'm surprised the players on it. Like, I get buttoned up. The Astros, I don't know another way to put it. They have been horrific in situational hitting. Like, with runners, I know you've talked about it, runners on third. However, they've executed runners in scoring position with less than two outs. They have been awful. Awful. Not in just extra inning games. Like, it's just like they appear to walk up there without a plan. Without a fault. And that, to me, is some button-upness. And I feel like Dusty doesn't have to do that, doesn't have to come. Dusty shouldn't have to go up to Altuve and say, hey, man, don't swing for the fences quite on every pitch.
Don't swing out of your shoes at three straight off-speed pitches.
When someone said, like, come on, man. I mean, they gotta pull that again, man. All right, it's time for you to get your football fix. Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.